Welcome to Canadian Defense Focus from CDR Radio, produced by Canadian Defense Review Magazine. This series of podcasts features interviews with leaders and experts in the defense industry, as well as reports and profiles on the very latest in defense technology.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the CDR Radio Podcast. I'm James Careless, Ottawa Bureau Chief with Canadian Defense Review, Canada's leading defense magazine. This time on the CDR Radio Podcast, we're speaking with Kristen C.N. Ferrani. She is President and CEO of the Canadian Association of Defense and Security Industries, CADSI for short. CADSI is best known for hosting the annual CANSEC trade show in Ottawa. CADSI is gearing up for CANSEC 2024, which takes place at Ottawa's EY Centre May 29th and 30th this year. Kristen is here to preview CANSEC 2024 for us. Hi, Kristen. Thanks for joining us on the CDR Radio Podcast.
Well, thank you for having me once again.
Last year, you opened CANSEC with a message of optimism, but also of caution. There was a sense that the world was changing very quickly, especially when it comes to defense and security, and Canada needs to do more to respond to this change. Do you think that message was heard based on what you've seen since?
Well, we certainly have to acknowledge that the $73 billion in funding just announced in the DPU suggests that there was some form of a message received, albeit better, I suppose, back-end loaded than never. You know, it certainly helped to have the entirety of NATO asking Canada for the same thing. But specifically, though, on your point, there were various nods in the recent release of the DPU that have suggested there's a desire to have a different relationship with industry, which the minister actually reinforced with me after the announcement. So on that CANSEC stage, I was saying something like, you know, we have to answer the call differently. What we've done and how we've done it in the past might not work for our present or future. And I was talking about our relationship with government and the CAF and the way we procure things. So yes, I think the message was heard. Something is being done, but we're not obviously out of the woods yet. We need to find better ways to respond urgently. You know, we need to understand from the government's point of view what building the industrial base looks like for them and what that new relationship with industry looks like, because let's be honest, everything we've seen to date is a bit skimpy on the details. We have seen some positive movement forward, but time will tell.
Now, CANSEC's theme this year is move at the speed of life. What made you settle on that?
Well, in industry, we're seized with the speed at which our allies and their defense industrial bases have moved to mobilize for Ukraine. You know, our DPU was 720 some odd days late, in our opinion, and we're now on a back footing as a nation, just to even maintain the speed of relevancy. We also know that doing the same things, using our procurement in the same way and expecting different outcomes, especially quicker outcomes, isn't going to yield anything different. So if we fail to move fast enough, you know, simply put, that means loss of life, specifically in Ukraine. So in our view, we have to be guided to move not by the speed of production or by the speed of relevancy, but by what hangs in the balance, which is life. We have to start moving with the speed of life, as though our lives, not just the Ukrainians' lives, depend on it.
Now, the government touched on procurement at the DPU, but didn't make a very strong commitment to fix it. Another one of these, we'll study it sort of things. What do we need? Do we need a CD? How? Do we need an integrated ministry? What do we need to deal with this problem and get procurement moving?
We want, you know, seductive answers to a very complicated problem, right? We, first and foremost, it comes, you know, I've said at committee, we have the procurement system that we have designed, not the one that we pretend that we want. And so I think it starts first and foremost with a will to move projects faster from the very top of the government food chain, if you want to call it that, and that flows all the way down to the public service. So, you know, it becomes a question of how fast can we get this done, as opposed to how many things can we put in place to protect ourselves from potentially getting sued, right? Or to design a system that by nature is about protecting and reducing risk instead of balancing between risk and reward. From our point of view, I can certainly tell you that it looks like something very different from the kind of system that we have. It looks like, you know, unabashedly preferencing Canadian firms. It looks like expediting procurement for companies where the capability resides in Canada. And it means collaboratively developing our future capability and those roadmaps together with industry and the CAF, you know, sharing the same space, talking to each other about how to develop the next generation or even execute on the current generation of technologies. Those are the kinds of things that it looks like.
Now, were you disappointed that the government didn't commit to getting to 2% of GDP for NATO spending?
So the thing is, 2% of GDP is a floor, and it is an important commitment that we have made on the world stage. So I don't want to, you know, undermine it by saying that we think it's okay to underachieve. The challenge for us in industry is that it's never been about the 2%. The NATO commitment is twofold. One is about the money, and the second is about building and sustaining your own domestic industrial base. In this case, it means Canada for the long haul. And so when I look at it, I say, even if there's less money, are we taking the actions to spend that money, A, as much as possible within Canada? Because again, you could spend all the money outside of Canada and be left with no legacy industry. And B, are we doing the things that we should be doing to build the industrial base as strongly as we can, right? I mean, you can spend more than 2% of GDP and not accomplish those outcomes. And then in my view, for what I would like to see left by this, we have not accomplished the goals that NATO is asking us to accomplish with a 2% of GDP pledge.
Now, Defense Minister Bill Blair will be delivering the keynote at CANSEC on May 29th. What do you think industry could hear from him? What does industry need to hear from him, especially now that the DPU is being released?
Well, I think you just scooped me, by the way. I don't know whether we announced that or not, but nevertheless, you are correct. The Minister Bill Blair will be delivering a keynote at CANSEC. I'm hoping he continues on this path of bringing, let's call it, good news to that room. I'm hoping he may shed a little bit of light on what a new relationship looks like. And I'm also hoping that whether it's him or his counterpart, you know, Minister Duclos, and I may have given up another CANSEC secret there, I hope that they are able to make some announcements, let's call it low-hanging fruit, of some of the procurement policy changes that we have been asking for in the last year. It's no secret that we've been putting forward some changes that we think government could implement quite quickly. And I'm hoping that instead of waiting for some kind of big bang, you know, to release all sorts of procurement changes in one go, that they start to roll out as many of them as they can as quickly as possible. Because like we're saying, you know, if we don't move fast on many of these things, in our estimation, it's loss of life that hangs in the balance.
Now, touching upon that, we've seen some big contract awards over the past year. I'm thinking of the multi-mission aircraft, for example, and that pushes a lot of these competitions out of the spotlight. So what do you expect to be generating the most buzz on the floor at CANSEC this year, since that's the case?
Good thing you mentioned that, because the next year, I mean, I think we now have a document full of potential opportunities, right? And funny enough, one of the things that wasn't covered off in this document with any hard cash in the DPU was probably the thing we're going to see on the show floor. So for anyone who was at the Outlooks, and I suspect that some of your listeners were there, they would have just completed a week of CAF Outlooks brought to you by Hanwha. And so despite not being in the budget of the DPU, the refreshed DPU, I truly do believe we're going to see submarines is going to be on that show floor. And obviously, we're unlikely to see a real submarine on the show floor or even out back of CANSEC, despite the fact that, you know, there's a giant swamp out behind the EY Center. I do think we're going to see a lot of that jockeying for position, team building, and other sort of volleys towards submarine procurement. The other thing we're going to see is more of that emerging technology. the digitally connected battlefield. I think we're going to see some counter UAS. We'll probably see more companies using or making use of or saying that they use AI, for example. So I think we're going to see that technology angle more and more.
Well, let's pick up on 2 points. One on subs. Do you think Canada would ever, any Canadian government, risk bringing up the nuclear option? And two, you touched on emerging technology. What's happening at CANSEC? Will CANSEC Labs be back?
Well, strangely enough, if you listen to, I think, the Q&A period yesterday with the Prime Minister, he weirdly danced around a nuclear option. But, you know, the commander of the Navy was quite clear at the outlooks that, you know, we're talking diesel electric. I think it's clear within the CAF itself, the direction that it's likely to go. They're the people that should be defining what the CAF needs for defense of the Arctic. On CANSEC Labs, of course, it's going to be a returning. We see these technology verticals, if you want to call it that, they're becoming more horizontal, right? This thing that we call emerging technology is really just becoming blended with and inside of products and or services that are what we would have thought of as conventional defense, right? And most conventional defense firms are calling themselves technology companies and vice versa. So there's really a blend happening. I mean, CANSEC Labs is what I would say is on the cusp of just becoming another lens through which we see defense and security applications.
Finally, what else will be new at CANSEC this year?
You know, I'm not going to tell you.
You told me last year.
I am not going to tell you. What I can say is that you will not be able to miss some of the changes that are there at CANSEC. You cannot miss them. So I will look forward to seeing you write about them in your post-CANSEC article.
Touché. Well, thank you for talking to us today, Kristen.
Thank you so much for having me again, James. And I will see you at CANSEC.
You can count on it. You've been listening to the latest in the CDR Radio podcast series. They are produced by Canadian Defence Review, Canada's leading defence magazine. I've been speaking with Kristen C.N. Ferrani, President and CEO of the Canadian Association of Defence and Security Industries. To hear more CDR Radio podcasts, go to CanadianDefenseReview.com or find us on iTunes and Google Play under CDR Radio. I'm James Careless. Thank you for listening to the CDR Radio podcast. Talk to you again next time.
Tune in next time for another Canadian Defense Focus podcast from CDR Radio.